We are joined by Nick Pope.
First training session, like, just signed him obviously for good money and done the shooting session, and like, he's nearly took my face off a couple of times.
Serious?
Like, he's just 15 minutes of shooting and I was like protecting my body. Like,
you two nearly became teammates.
So you've messaged me, actually. You've gone, can't believe you didn't sign for the Tomb just because I haven't been on the podcast yet.
We went 1-0 up there once, and I just remember thinking, we've woken them up. We've annoyed them. Abby and Shah, top chucker.
Head loss.
Oh, honestly. He's chucked clubs further than his hit balls a few times. What gives you the right to say that? And it just causes bedlam as well.
Exactly,
like,
that.
It's worst thing ever. European qualifier, and all of a sudden you can't, like, squeeze your hand. Nerve damage. I couldn't like move my fingers.
Oh, that's a mad worry.
Base
that
it,
mate.
Like, yeah, if I could be part of the first team that won the first thing,
oh,
that would be like, you know, massive.
Hello everybody, welcome to the Fozcast. We are on the road again today and we are currently up in, I've got to be fair, it's raining. It is rainy, rainy Newcastle. But it doesn't matter though, because we are all smiling and it is shining inside, because we are joined by one of my most favourite, and I mean this.
You never stop going on about him, to be
fair. I do never stop going on about him. I love him. I think he is my ideal goalkeeper, Nick Pope. Welcome to the podcast,
welcome,
mate.
Thanks
you
okay? for having yeah. me. Thanks for coming. Welcome to Newcastle.
Thanks for you coming, mate. Honestly, we buzz off it. I'm buzzing for this one. The only place we can start, right, is penalties. We're going to start with penalties, okay? Because you've just had a good weekend, okay?
It's the 11th of April now, so this might go out next week. But okay, for the audience, it's the 11th of April and you boys have had a big weekend.
I think your penalty was a little bit more impressive than mine, because Ivan Toney has not missed a penalty for 5 years. Did you know this, by the way?
Yeah, everyone knew, didn't they?
Five years?
Everyone knew, yeah.
So talk me through it. Come on. How do you go about judging this penalty and where to go and how to save it?
To be fair, like, he's had four against me now in 12 months. Have so, you, like, yeah, my odds are better than other goalies. Like, I've had four goes at it, do you know what I mean? So, obviously with him, like, when he's walking up to the ball and he's that slow, you're there, like, in the moment thinking, like, if you flinch too quick,
you've just got to hold your ground.
You've just got to try and hold your ground, haven't you? Like, if you flinch too quick, he's kicked it in the other corner and you're there, like, on your backside or stood up, like, watching.
Yeah,
so, like,
it's horrible, isn't it?
It's just one of them. Like, Raul Jimenez is a similar one. Like, he had one, like, 96th minute against me and we're 1-0 up at Burnley. And, like, I've just edged a little early, like, I've dropped my knee off a bit and he's, like, rolled it the other way. Oh. And you just feel like the biggest idiot
can you,
ever.
Can you, in a situation like that, can you almost dummy, though, and go to make a flinch, but...
Yeah, of course, yeah. I think that's kind of half the idea, like, moving one part of your body one way, so maybe they think you've gone when you're already planning to go the other way. But, you know, the boys are so good at it. I think he's 25 in a row, was he?
Yeah,
Ivan, or something.
Yeah.
So, like, he'd have seen every trick in the book, I'm guessing.
So had you done like your research beforehand? You know, because like the goalie, the analysis team, they will have give you all sorts of info of try and do this, try and do that. Is that the case, or did you just sort of go, no, I'm going to do it myself this time?
Yeah, it was a little bit of myself, just because, you know, he looks at that, and you know, with his technique, it's more based on, it's not really, he doesn't really, I don't think, make his mind up before he's kicked it.
Yeah, he's a last minute.
He's making his mind up in motion, like in the moment. So whatever research you do doesn't really matter, because if you do something, he's going to react to what you do.
Uh-huh.
So it's just one of them. You kind of, yeah, you're with the gods. You're open to go your way, you know?
So I saw Thomas Frank said after the game as well, he said that there was some like dark arts at play. He was saying that some of the Newcastle players got all up in his face and, do you know what I mean, intimidated him a little bit. What do you make of that? Because I ain't having that for one little bit. I think that's fair play
now,
mate.
Isn't it?
I think that's fair play, mate. Yeah. You've got to do that sort of stuff, haven't you?
I mean, you got a free kick from 12 yards. What more do you want?
Imagine
you know?
That. You've got this massive goal to score in and from 12 yards out.
Yeah. I think, like I say, he'd have faced everything the last, you know, if it goes in, nothing gets said. I think dark arts, it's one of the things with penalties now. I think you're always going to have, you know, people around the taker, people around the spot. Obviously, the decision itself was something that I don't think we're too happy about.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Like, you know, ramped it up a little bit. But yeah, I think one of them, like, as soon as we get a penalty, we had it with Isak at Forest a couple of weeks
Kieran
ago.
Trippier, when he took the ball, didn't he? And held it for a bit.
And, you know, there's people getting in everyone's face. You know, 96 minutes, you got a penalty. No one's being left to themselves. So,
What do you make of all, like, the new sort of goalkeeping sort of shithousery, all these bits and bobs? You'd have definitely seen it in the World Cup, like Emi Martinez.
Yeah.
That's the extreme level kind of thing.
I think, like you say, I think there is a line with the sportsmanship. I don't agree with, like, scuffing the spot and stuff like that. I think that's kind of a...
Yeah, that's not...
That's
not
a level
it,
too
yeah.
far for me. But yeah, it was interesting, giving like Emmy as well. Fair
would you
play
ever
to
do
him.
Anything like that? Because I don't think you're that kind of guy. I don't think what? I'd do that personally. I don't think I'd do it. I'd be like, no, I just try and I'll just back myself, and that's all it'll come down to.
Yeah, I think you have. I think having that level of doing something maybe takes your attention away. I'd probably be concentrating more on trying to save it. But obviously, he was doing both. To be fair,
would a goalie coach ever speak to you about that and say, listen, maybe do this or delay? Is that something that a goalie coach would ever indicate to you?
Yeah, I think so. I think you're kind of encouraged maybe to do that sort of thing anyway. I just speak to takers, but the longer from the penalty given to when you got to take it is not probably great time, you know,
good,
for them.
Not good for the striker.
Not good for the striker. The more thinking time, you know, more noise, more pressure, like maybe so. The more you can extend that time is only kind of working in your favour. I think they're going to change the rules, aren't they, because of Emmy.
Mate, they're changeable to suit the strikers, like they always do.
No surprise.
They change the balls to make them fly quicker, less grippier. They'll change anything they can to see more goals, won't they?
Goal will be bigger soon, won't it?
Everybody hates a goalie, mate.
But psychologically,
we should be used to it, shouldn't we?
Yeah, psychologically, though, but I know you talked about this in the past, Ben, being such a big goalie, Nick. Psychologically, when you spread your like wingspan, that goal becomes a lot smaller, doesn't it? So it must be you're a fairly big goalie, aren't you, Ben?
Yeah.
And then Nick, you're bigger than Ben, so having that presence in the goal must straight away make that goal shrink.
That's the question then, because when I was watching the World Cup final, you've got Hugo Lloris, I love Hugo. You've got Emi Martinez, two completely different goalkeepers. But I'm watching this penalty shoot and I'm thinking, nah, mate, if I'm coming up and I'm facing Emi Martinez, he's massive. Like, he's not far off your height. I'm thinking, that would intimidate me. That's the thing, isn't it?
I think so. I think if you're walking up as a taker, World Cup final anyway, and then
you look up
and you've got these long arms, long legs, like...
And he's dancing around
in
like
the goal,
a dickhead.
Dancing around. You're thinking, in a way, I think it's probably annoying you more than you'd want it to, and you're thinking... Do you start overthinking it? And you're thinking, I want to score so bad just to shut him up. But then... That's clouding your mind even more. It's all going in the goalie's favour. You know what I mean? So it's, mate, fair play to him.
As a goalkeeper, right, you are, honestly, I know I've said it on a lot of podcasts, a lot of our shows that we do. You're like my ideal goalie. I want my goalie to be big and brave and command his area and make saves, right? This newfangled way of like goalkeepers apparently is playing out. I'm not having that for it. Well, I'm not having it, mate. Honestly, I'm personally not. I just want my goalkeeper to make saves. That is what he's there for, first and foremost. But I want to know about the mentality side of it from you, okay? Because this is what I think is one of your biggest strengths as a goalkeeper is nothing ever seems to faze you. You know exactly what you're good at and you just focus on doing that. Is that something you've ever had to work at?
I think experience probably plays a big part. Yeah.
How old are you now?
I'm 30 now.
Yeah.
I know.
It's
over the hill. And I think like when you go on loans and you go through different experiences, you just like... You go through so much, so like highs and lows, like promotion, relegations, good games, bad games, like so many different things. So there's this goalie coach at Charlton, Lee Turner. I only had him for a year, I think. And he kind of was one of the only first people for us to speak to me about it and saying about being close to the line. He's the equilibrium, if you like, that settled line. So where things are going good, bad, indifferent, never get too high, never get too low, like, sounds proper basic, I suppose, but I think as a goalkeeper, that mentality is massive. And I think, you know, you get maybe reminders during your career when that sort of thing happens. I can think of, like, we scored a 90th minute equaliser against Liverpool at Burnley at Turf, and you're running around, like, celebrating, and then, like, 94th minute, whipping a free kick, and, like, I think it was Clavin scored at the back stick, and then all of a sudden, like, you feel like an idiot. You know? So you get, like, little reminders over your career, I think, and I think it's just something that was massively important to me because I got sent out on loan a couple of times, and, you know, sometimes you go through difficult periods, difficult games, and then you're obviously worrying about the bigger picture of your whole career. And how that's going to pan out, and will I make it at Charlton, or will I have to go somewhere else, or wherever that may be. So just keeping that balance just keeps you in a good way.
Was that when you were younger, was that a genuine concern for you? Was it just like, because I've got the list of teams that you went out on loan to here, mate. It is absolutely mad, right? So obviously Ipswich as a kid, then you signed for Charlton, and you're out on loan at some time along your career at Charlton.
Yeah.
Bury, Harrow, Welling, Cambridge, Aldershot, York, and Bury again. This is all whilst you're signed to Charlton.
Yeah,
so when you're out on loan at all these teams, is it always just just get by. Come on, just keep going. We can do this. We can do this.
I think it's just about working out the levels. So the first one for me was the Ryman Premier. So you're talking one below the conference South, so two below the conference. And it was about, like, if however well I'd done over 20 games I was there, I'd never go getting Charlton's first team in League One after
doing
well.
Who was the goalie at the time?
Ben Hamer just came in. Yeah, so Rob Elliott, when I signed, he's there about 6 weeks. And I think he went to Newcastle. So after I'd been there about 6 weeks, and Ben Hamer came in. John Sullivan as well. So that was my first one. So you're thinking, however well I do here at Harrow, I'm never going to play for Charlton, but if I do well, I'll get maybe a loan at Conference South.
A better loan.
So like, you're thinking just big picture, really, of how you can improve to get yourself up the levels. And eventually, so for me, I signed for Charlton and they were League One, but I was on absolute peanuts, like going to university still a couple of days a week. Like there's like a cheap kind of gamble for Charlton, if you like, that this tall, lanky guy might turn into something if we can polish him up a little bit.
He's got the size, he's got the height. Yeah. So if we can learn him the rest of it,
yeah,
he's got
like
a chance.
Skinny as a rake, like just maybe you can build him into something.
And you were 18, about 18 at the time.
19, yeah. 19
and you were at Charlton, signed as a pro at university.
So like signs are obviously 19-year-olds, so you're a pro. So I was pro age, but I was probably on like scholarship money, if you like. So that's what I mean, but it's like a cheap gamble for them.
Yeah, scholarship money, we're talking like 50 quid a week or something.
So I think I was 125, I think.
So
yeah, I know, money bags.
So what point did you think to yourself, like with university, did you finish university?
So pretty quickly, actually. So it's Roehampton, which is across London, was like, I don't know, 15 miles maybe on the South Circular, but like I wasn't ready for that. I grew up on a farm and there's no traffic apart from tractors and that, and then all of a sudden I'm going across the South Circular. It's taking me like an hour and a half, and like it was draining the life out of me. Yeah, so I might have done it for 6 weeks. I think I handed in like one proper assignment, and I sat down with Charlton and said, like, I appreciate the offer, and obviously they were funding the university course degree that I was doing. I said, I appreciate that, but I could do this when I'm 25 or 30, but if I want to put the time and effort in now to try and, you know, make this work. And they're really understanding. Mum and Dad are really understanding, thankfully. And yeah, just cracked on from there. Yeah.
So what do you think it is? What do you think finally clicked? What do you think it is that finally clicked? Because you had all these loans, you're back at Charlton, you're playing well, and then you get the move to Burnley. What is it you think that made the difference?
I think a massive thing for me, you mean like cracking, I suppose, getting to the Premier League and kind of surviving,
anything,
if you like.
Just from being out on loan and being, like you say, a skinny kid who don't, like when you're playing with goals sometimes, you kind of think, am I doing it right?
It's a genuine concern.
It's like, am I doing
especially it right? Especially like, when I not had doubts, but when at Charlton, you know, we got 11 without a win. So you're all sudden thinking,
I'm out of the team,
or is this a reason why we're not winning? Do you know what I mean? Like, so you always have them doubts, I think, as a goalkeeper, especially when you're new at a level or new into a team. If you go through them sort of stages, you're like, oh, am I the reason? Or if I wasn't in and the other goalie is in, would we be doing better? So you have all them things, which is another, you know, thing about experience. Massive for me at Burnley and throughout my career, it was kind of, I think, looking at the bigger picture and like trying to improve always. So whether that was in the gym, in training, like I'd always train, try and never miss a session, train at 100%, always try and work on little things, work in the gym at little things. So like gradually, even though you have ups and downs of performance, maybe you're feeling like you're improving. I think that gives you like an inner confidence as well of like, I've worked as hard as I can to get it. So when I made my debut for Burnley, I've been at Burnley a year, and Dyche, you'd put on sessions that were intense. Like, so when you're not in the team, that's what you want. You want to train like it's a game. And like, he would like force that. And like, that'd be a big thing of like, you know, day in, day out, we've got to work harder than everyone else. So that prepares you as well, mentally and physically, for, you know, Premier League pace. If you like train at 25%, 50%,
you're not gonna be ready, are you?
And then you get chucked in, you know, it's going to be hard work for you.
What's your mentality like right now then? So obviously at Newcastle now, you're ripping it up, you're doing really well. As a goalie, do you ever have it in the back of your mind? Because I know I did for sure, right? If you make a mistake in a game, you think, I wonder if he'll drop me. Do you know what I mean?
I swear on my life, I had that.
Was something I used to try and scare myself with. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. You're going to get dropped if you keep making mistakes. Don't make mistakes.
I try and flip it the other way, if I'm honest. Like, if I'm scared of making mistakes, which I have been during my career, like when maybe you make one and then all of a sudden you're like, maybe I'll stick on my line a bit more, yeah, or maybe I'll, you know, ball's outside the box and you're almost saying, oh, don't shoot.
Yeah.
Don't shoot.
Mate, 40 like, yards out, you think, yeah, don't shoot.
Gets out of his feet and you're the crowd and you're like, oh no, here we go. But I think I try and flip it, like, because I wouldn't be a good goalie if I'm playing with fear, you know. Yeah. Like, if the ball's hung up 6-12 yards out and I'm not having the intention or not going for it, then I'm not benefiting the team. And I think I'd feel like I'd know that, yeah, you know?
Like you're letting the team
like
down.
Like I'm letting the team down. Yeah. Like, even though, like, so a ball like that can be hung in the box 12 yards out. You stay on your line, don't come for it. Maybe it gets headed away. Nothing comes of it.
Yeah.
Maybe it gets nodded down and they score. And no one else would think anything of it, but I'd know. And I think, like, when I got into the team for Burnley, Heats actually got fit. Tom Heaton got fit back towards the end of the season, and I'd done well for 6 or 7 months. And we played against you guys at Watford, actually. And I remember thinking, like, it's his first time on the bench, yeah, like, so it's that thing, oh, if I chuck one in, is that me getting a bullet straight away? And I kind of just thought, like, I've played for the last 6-7 months, I've kind of got that freedom where I believe that I'm a Premier League goalie, but if I want to stay in the team, I've got to, you know, play to my level and play to impact the game. Like, I think that's what I've always looked to do. Like, when I made my debut for Burnley, obviously first in the Premier League, it was like, what impact the game? What I come off my line? I want to take crosses and make saves.
Front-footed goalkeeper. Yeah,
I think a lot of fans potentially wouldn't notice that. Like you said, kind of being a safer goalkeeper and not taking an advanced position would be, you'd probably get away with it from a fan's point of view. But yeah, like you said, when you've got Tom Heaton there or Joe Hart there, someone sitting on the bench, everyone that will know, won't they, that he's not coming out and he's not being brave. And that's when potentially you could probably come unstuck, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's just about staying true to yourself a little bit. Like if that wasn't one of my strengths, I wouldn't want to do it as much. But then if I stop doing it and I'm stopped doing my strengths, then I'm letting myself down and then I'm not benefiting the team. It's not good for me. Like for me, like, you know what it's like. The best thing for me, nearly better than a save, is if you come off your line in the 95th minute and you take a cross or you take pressure off your defence and like you're sitting there laying on the ball and the lads are all patting you on the back, like whacking your head.
Like, nicest feeling in the world.
There's nothing
I'm going
better,
into.
Like,
I feel all warm now, mate. It is though, isn't it?
It is, like, but like you say, like, I don't think anyone really realises that.
Yeah.
Like,
but I'll tell you what as well, though, people don't understand how pressurised and how brave you have to be, right?
Yeah, of course.
If you're winning 1-0, for example, and it's the 95th minute and that ball comes into the box and you know they've literally sent everybody up, all the centre back, everybody is up, right? And I've seen you do this firsthand, right? And you will just already have the most dominant sort of front-footed starting position out on the edge of your 6-yard box already. And I'm thinking, you're a madman. You're an absolute madman. Yeah, yeah. But you don't care. You've like got this air about you where you're like, well, no, this is just what I do, so I'm doing it. And I remember watching your times thinking, nah, that's ridiculous. People don't understand how brave you have to be to do that, don't you? It is.
It's funny. You watch it back on TV. You watch it back and it'll be like, oh, it's a poor ball straight to the keeper's arms.
No.
Just like, I don't watch it on TV sometimes. One at the weekend, actually, I just think about on the way here was, is it Martinelli that plays a pass through? Like, Alisson comes out 25 yards to sweep that up.
Yeah.
He doesn't even get a second breath. Like, it's unbelievable. I bet his starting position and he's reading the play is unbelievable. But if he had to drop back onto his line and Martinelli, whoever, bangs it in the top corner, nothing gets said.
It's mad, isn't it? Like when you were playing at the weekend, I look at it and when you really look in a 6-yard box, right, and you've got a lad that can put a throw in better than a corner, haven't they?
Bent unbelievable. Over.
And you look in the six-yard box.
Glad he's not in the Prem.
Honestly, every time we play a game, like we play against goalies in the National League, right? They're I'm not joking, 6'9", 6'10", they are massive, right? Yeah. And I'm watching them and I'm thinking, you don't want to come for this. No. You do not want to come for this, mate. And he don't. I can see his body language and he will just stand on his line and go, please, somebody head it.
Yeah.
Because it comes in.
Someone gets someone on it.
Like you said, the other day, it'll come in low as well. And like when you look in the 6-yard box, there is a lot of traffic in there and there's a lot of big geezers, right? And to kind of run through them and collect a ball must be, you've got to judge it just incredibly well,
haven't
you?
This is the difference between starting on your line and trying to come through that, or what he does, and I've seen him do it, is he'll start 3 or 4 yards out already. Or if he knows the throw-in's going to come to the front post, he'll start near the front post. And other goalies won't do that because that's That's the bravery bit that other goalies aren't. And you can see that as a goalie, can't you? You can see other goalies and you think, you don't want to come for nothing today.
I think like having my grounding in the lower leagues like done me no end of good. Yeah. Like, and I had some great managers that would be like, just come and get it.
Yeah.
Like, don't matter, come and get it. And then it would be like, you'd be away at Hartlepool and it'd be blowing a gale. Long throw like everyone in League Two has. And then you'll be standing on the edge of your 6 yard like, I'm coming. Like, and then like he's put that in your head and it gives you license to go and do it. Yeah. Like, so obviously you come out, you drop one, you come in the next one. Like, make sure you come in the next
Damn
one.
Right.
Like, that's,
I can imagine that's a Daichi absolute prerequisite for you, wasn't it? I can imagine him saying, no, Nick, you are so good at doing this. You just do this every single time. I'll have you dropping one per game. Don't bother me. Yeah. As long as I know you'll take four or five or six of them, sweet as a nut.
Yeah, I think he kind of left me to myself a little bit, and but that's what you want as a goalie as well, I feel like. You don't want someone saying, what are you doing there? Like, well, are you sure? You don't have to do that. Or at York City, like, I had Nigel Worthington, and we were on a run of clean sheets and wins, and we're chasing the playoffs, and Accrington Stanley have stuck one over my head and have come out and missed it, and they've scored 90th minute. And just remember the next day at training, like you say about, oh, you're thinking, oh, is that me getting the bullet, or am I closer to the bullet of, you know, getting dropped? And I remember the next day at training, he just like walking out for the warm-up training, he just tapped me on the back and go, you come for the next one. And then that was it. And then I walked away and trained, and then you're just thinking like, all right then. Like, just exactly what you'd want to hear.
That's
as a goalie.
Exactly, I want to talk about that goalie trio, that Burnley goalie trio, famous goalie trio, three proper goalies.
Yeah.
How mad is that, right? Isn't it?
It's even like, even extended to that, really. I think like, I think it's five. I've got Anders Lindegaard played.
For sure, of course,
Man United Champions League. And then Adam Ledgkins played loads of games, Derby, Birmingham, like... So it's like five of us walking out every day, like
proper goalies. You know, goalies.
What's the dynamic? What's the dynamic there like then? What is, because you've talked in the past, Ben, about number one maybe going first in drills and stuff. Yeah. So what happens?
Yeah, it's just like that. The goalie, you know, plays on Saturday.
You have a pecking
first.
Order.
A little bit, but not kind of
set in stone
kind of thing. I just remember it being like. We'd always do like shooting from outside the box with quite a lot of serving, and the standard was unbelievable. Like, because obviously no younger lads maybe dollying it to you or like hitting a slow one wide or slow one over the bar. There's all like the ages of us must have been like, I was the youngest at maybe 26, maybe 25. Yeah, yeah. And then it was like 29, 30, 31, 34. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's like proper goalies. Like,
yeah.
But like standard of just training itself was like top draw, to be fair. And then like come to weekend, I'll see one of us, only one's playing, and, It was a mad time. I think everyone in the training ground, outside the training ground, was like, well, we can't last forever. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, there'll be an evolution in the summer and people come and go, but it's just a mad time.
I'm going to put it out there that might be the best three goalkeepers, like proper first team goalkeeper at a club, maybe ever.
Oh,
genuinely.
Can't be fair.
No, I'm not joking. Yeah. I'm not joking, right? I've trained with Joe Hart. I've seen him. He's like
unbelievable trainer, by the way, and
ridiculous.
A goalie.
He's ridiculous, isn't he?
He came to Burnley for 6 months I think 2 years in the end, but he came after I'd done my shoulder.
Yeah.
And I'd done my shoulder and I hadn't heard he was coming in. And I remember just walking in the canteen and I'd seen him and he's just like, oh no. What's he doing here? It's Joe Hart doing here.
No, you genuinely didn't know.
He's like, oh, has he come for the day? Like, what is he?
Come
just
to see you.
Oh, yeah, he's just like, and then like, obviously, because I've been out of the training ground a lot, like, you know, shoulder surgery, you know, you can't do a lot, do you know what I mean? So I just, like, one of the days I was in, I was like, oh, what's he doing here? I was already, already trained with him in England
Do you get
few
the
months
umpital,
before.
Like, say, like, as if to say, why didn't anyone tell me?
I think, like, just going to happen. Like, I knew we were going to sign someone, do you know what I mean? I just wasn't expecting, like,
Joe Hart to walk 70 out, England 70, caps or whatever, yeah.
So, I was just like, and then, like, I'm staring down the barrel of, like, 5-6 months out injured anyway. So you're not really too much thinking about playing football at that point. You're more thinking about fucking, like, I had like nerve damage, so I couldn't like move my fingers.
Oh.
So like I was worried about trying to move my fingers, like the fact that he's in the building.
Genuinely couldn't feel like any.
Yeah, so like one of my early exercises was like touch your finger to your thumb, all of them. Like,
that's a mad worry,
basic,
that, mate.
Like, yeah, proper, yeah. Whereas like, and I spoke to other people that had done, they're like, oh no, I didn't have that.
Because when you like go for an op and stuff, I did my collarbone a few years ago and they said there's a potential of that white, but that you kind of got the impression they have to say that to everybody. Was there a point with that injury where you thought, or there was a consultation where it was like you might not get it back, or?
They never told me. I don't know. You do worry about that sort of thing. Obviously, when you've taken that many steps back, obviously going out playing, just been at the World Cup, played European qualifier, and all of a sudden you can't like squeeze your hand, or you can't like, you've got no feeling, you're all pins and needles in your arm. So yeah, I think anyone's head, I think it's like, you know, you go for surgery, whatever the surgery is, before you shut your eyes, you're thinking, I hope it's all right when I wake up.
Oh, I hope I wake up.
Yeah. Is that the maddest thing? Is general anaesthetic the maddest thing
in
the world?
Like, you always have a thought, like they're telling you, think of something happy, like think of something good. And you're just thinking, I hope I can walk after this.
Yeah,
like,
that'd be
something
nice,
mad,
yeah.
Basic, you know? And I remember like obviously waking up from there and then like, I can't move my hand. I can't move my arm. Like my whole arm was just like immobile. And then obviously slowly it kind of, I can touch two fingers and three fingers, and then, you know, you play PlayStation and you can hold a cup of tea. It's like
you
so
did
slow.
That. I remember you came out for a cross, came over somebody or something.
No, I dropped one actually. Dropped one like on top of myself almost. And there's our centre half, James Tarkowski, and their striker just like banged into me basically. Yeah, yeah. And then like, just when that split second when it happens, also you don't know what you're injured, but you just know like, I wasn't really in pain. It was kind of like a pins and needles, like shock kind of feeling at the time. And then like I remember the physio coming on and like they're like whispering to each other and you're like, oh no, like something's, it's not good, you know what I mean? It's not good. And then obviously you go to hospital and like drilling morphine into your lung because the pain's like through the roof. And then after you've had the maximum amounts, so I was like on a warfield sort of morphine level. And then like away the stars then. You don't
and Tom
much.
Heaton at Burnley as well. What would he like? So again, I've trained with Tom.
Yeah.
And he's probably the most technically gifted goalkeeper you'll ever train with, isn't he?
I love training with him. A great person for me to, when I first signed for Burnley, not play, like obviously signed to Burnley, not go play. Tom's obviously been there loads of years, legend at the club. Great person to learn off, like day in, day out, attitude, commitment to training, how he trained, like the way he trained, what he looked at, and then on match day as well. I think his mindset would be one that, you know, probably influenced mine as well, because he was top.
I'd say he's quite similar to you as a person, to be fair. Like, and I'd describe him as a proper goalie.
Yeah, he's a proper goalie. I'd say he's a bit more. He's a bit more mental than me. Like,
is he really?
When you say his name, it just makes me laugh because I just think of like things I've seen. Like,
yeah.
So say you'd be doing an 11v11 and like manager stops it. Like, so he's chatting to like the back four or the middle two or the wide men or something, right? So I'll be in the goal at the other end, and obviously you don't really speak to the goalie. And when you're doing 11v11, it's like tactical. You don't really like speak to the goalie that much. And like Tom will be down the other end and like he'd stand in the middle of his goal. I can just see this clear as day now, by the way. He'd take like two steps and spring to the top corner. There's no ball. No one's watching.
He's just diving.
He's just practicing his dive to the top corner. Like no one's
That's
around
not
it.
Even
it
a thing.
It's amazing. Honestly, like have you ever seen anyone else do that? Obviously, you've been a lot of goalies. Have you seen anyone do that?
I'm never diving if there's not a ball. No chance, mate.
No, he's diving full length. Like.
Have you ever tried diving without a ball? It hurts, mate. It hurts so much, right? When you've got to catch the ball, you don't feel it.
Yeah, your mind's another thing.
But when there's no ball there, it actually hurts, mate.
I never tried it. I watched him do it hundreds of times. Never tried it.
Mate.
And he'd do like other mad stuff as well. Like, so same sort of thing. He'd be all like left to his own devices. And he would like pretend a striker's running through and like come out and spread himself like as wide as possible and like slide into him and like, it was this like obviously visualization,
right? Yeah.
Basically, yeah. But when you're not him and you're watching it from like 100 yards away, it's amazing.
You must be thinking, looking at the, are you like just going, what is this guy doing?
I was just smiling. Like I'm smiling now because I can see it so clearly because it was like most days and like the other lads as well, obviously would cotton onto it and be like, look, he's at it again.
Anybody else, you'd think you're a weirdo. He probably is a weirdo, but he's genuinely one of the best blokes, isn't he?
Yeah, he was a great one. He's one of them as well. Like the goal has to be in the middle. Yeah. Like he's stepping out the goal. Which, I mean, I see training goals. They're movable, very like movable. Like he's stepping out every day, like making sure it's banging.
I've got a question for you both. When we were talking earlier on about coming out for crosses and stuff, this is something we've had a few goalies on, a lot of goalie chat.
Yeah.
I want to speak to you guys about, as a goalkeeper, zonal marking or man marking. Do you guys have a preference? And is one easier than the other to goalkeep against?
Goalkeep with?
Yeah. No. So, sorry. Yes. Somebody. Yes. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, goalkeep with. Yeah.
Okay. I think they're both effective if they're done right. Thinking of my career and my own experiences, I'm nearly man marking all the time with a couple of zonal lads, one at the front.
It's kind
one
of
the
semi,
middle.
It's always kind of but semi. Anyway,
I think
it?
Nearly everyone is nowadays. Yeah. I'd say, I remember there's a mad point where like zonal was like, oh, every goal conceded is like, oh, it's a zonal throw.
That's what it
like,
is. Yeah.
It went like for a mad
It's because Liverpool did it, didn't it? Liverpool was staunch with it. They were sticking to it and there were goals going in all over. Sure.
So I think you've got to have some sort of element of the man-to-man. So otherwise, I think you get worked out eventually. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I
totally agree with that. Yeah. Everybody does kind of play a bit semi-zonal now, where you'll have a front man in there, you'll have somebody on the edge of the 6 yard. Maybe some people like to have a back post man. But then other than that, it's just like man for man. You have little areas and that. But again, if you're playing against a team who are just absolute lumps, then you have to go man for man. You can't just stick in a zone because they'll just get a run and it's just a doddle header for them. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Right, let's move on to Newcastle. We like to do this thing, right, that when players have signed for a team, right, it's about that initial sort of contact and that initial, so obviously you've been at Burnley, you've just been relegated. It's you know, I know that you've got a lot of love for Burnley and you always will have. But getting back into the Premier League, I know for a fact for you, is where you deserve to be. And it was kind of a no-brainer. I'm pretty sure Burnley were on the same page as well, to be fair. It was like, Nick Pope, you've been incredible, but you do need to go back to the Premier League. So I'm sure they were very good in accommodating that. How does that initial contact happen? And what were your initial thoughts when you heard about it?
Obviously for me, the relegation is so hard to take. Yeah. Like, so obviously, especially you go down to the last day and like the last few minutes of the season or whatever, the last weeks. And then obviously it kind of settles down after the next week and you're thinking like, what's next basically? And you're kind of hoping that, I know what like Championship's like if you stay at Burnley, like I'll stay and we'll get back up. Like they've made it look easy, by the way.
There's a lot of
teams, you know, go down again to League One, linger in the Championship for a few years. And like, also freshly turned 30 at that point, I'm thinking like, it has to happen now for me, really. I want to try and, you know, kick on and, you know, improve myself. I think there's that thing when you're a player as well, you don't want to get, once you've been somewhere so long, you want to like, you know, take yourself on, have like more a new stimulus. I think that was a big thing for me as well. Like come back to the Premier League. And obviously when Newcastle come in off the back of having 6 months last season, when they were like unbelievable, like bottom of the league
turned
in January,
turned it around,
and then obviously signing players of top level. When you're hearing that they're interested, you get excited. Like you're thinking like, what are the possibilities for me? You know, you're at Burnley, like you start the season, it's like, let's get to 40 points, let's get to 35.
Every time.
And it's year on, year out. And then, so then like you sign for Newcastle and it's like, oh, no, can we win a trophy? Can we like push ourselves to get, I don't know how many points and see where
top
we go.
Top four maybe.
Yeah, so like it's just totally different. And like when it, obviously, like Burnley were, you know, like you say, they were great with me to, you know, give the opportunity to go back because, you know, end of the day, they don't have to. They can ask for 50 million and say no or whatever. So no, they were great with, you know, helping me.
I think the way they handled it in general was just probably the ideal transfer, wasn't it? Like I say, I think they had that element of respect for you where they was like, nah, you've done so well for us and we respect you so much as a person that you deserve to go and do this now. Yeah. And it just went through so quickly, didn't it? And I remember it going through for, I think it was about 11 and a half mil, wasn't it?
Yeah,
and I remember thinking, that is just the, honestly,
bargain of the century,
oh my God. Like, yeah. I swear, clubs don't put enough value on goalkeepers and how important a proper goalie is to a team. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I think, see, a few people said about it, maybe it's on the cheap side or whatever, but if you probably look back in history of 30-year-olds that have moved for plus 10 million,
it's a fair point.
Yeah, but that's, I think if you can buy a 30-year-old player, right, that you know is feasibly going to be able to play for the next 5 or 6 years, but also play every single game of every single season, 11 million quid is just the biggest cut your hand off and give me that deal right now I've ever seen. But it's
amazing, goalkeeper
isn't
thing,
it?
Ben. It is a goalkeeper thing, because I know he was somewhat a different goalkeeper than he is now, but when Aaron Ramsdale moved, and it was like 25, 30 mil?
Yeah, 30
And people were going, that's it. And you go, he's like 22.
Yeah.
He's obviously a shit-up goalkeeper. If that was a centre-half, No one bats an eyelid, do they?
No, but that's what I mean. But I see clubs spending 20, 30 million quid on players that might only play 20 games that season. And that's what I'm saying. Like, if you can guarantee, when whatever player you buy, if you can guarantee that player will play every single game, mate, the money is a relative, isn't it? It is. It's absolutely a relative. Who was the first person you told when you knew about the Newcastle interest? Because there's always somebody that straight away you'd get on the phone to and go, guess what?
I just remember, like, I was on holiday in Mallorca at the time, and like, I've had like, it had been going on a couple of weeks. So I went away with England in that summer, and it hadn't gone through yet. And you know what it's like as a player wanting to go back to the Premier League? Like, you want to be the first one.
Yeah.
You want to be the first, I mean, like, the first one out of your club, say, let's just be relegated. So say, you know, I didn't go first and Burnley sold one lad, another lad, another lad. Then all
you
of a sudden,
get nervous then, don't you?
Yeah. All of a sudden the club may be thinking, well, we can't sell anyone else.
Yeah, like, we've made the money now. Like, we're fine.
You know, we've balanced the books maybe a little bit. We've sold da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Like, they've got to, you know, put the plug in at some point. Yeah. You can't just sell everyone for whatever, you know. So I think that was, it was nice that it got done, but it kind of lingered throughout the England. It was 2 weeks of England. And you're training every day thinking, if I get injured, like, and fail a medical, or, you know, then you are in the Championship and you're not even playing there because you're injured. Yeah. So, like, there's all sorts of like things going through your head as a player that you just don't want to, you know, even think about, but you kind of have to.
You know?
It's not like you're sitting on a beach and you step on a sushi shell. You're like, you're just training every day at top level as well.
It's true though. Like, people don't. It's a subconscious thing. It's a big deal for you, isn't it? It takes over your life at that moment in time, doesn't it? How, like, your phone, that any little vibration.
It's mad.
Who is it? Is it your agent? Is it this? Is it going through? What's happening?
And then when it is the agent, you go, what's happened? They're like, oh, not much really. And you're like,
why are you ringing me then? Just leave me alone.
I remember you saying, like, over the years with agents, it's like, I don't, like, nice guy, but I don't want to hear from you unless it's news, right? I don't want to have a chat kind of thing.
Now's not the time to chat. I just remember, like, I must have been peppering him for, like, when after it lingered for a bit, like, and you know what it's like. Like, you think, you start thinking, oh, they gotta go for someone else, or, you know, like, and I wanted Newcastle to happen so much, like, just to be part of it and not be part of the city. And just every time you play at St. James's, it's like...
It is, isn't it?
It's like top place to play football. So I think I wanted it to happen that much. I've been peppering my agent, so like when it actually happened, I was on holiday, I missed three calls from him. But then when you've seen three missed calls, you're like,
like, it's happening. It's happening. It's
like, if this isn't it, like, I'm gonna make it. Said basically, like, book your flight. Like, so I remember that she flew in, done my medical, had a day in Newcastle, and then flew back out on holiday
and chilled out.
So that was it done.
What was you when you, so you say about the atmosphere then, I'm with you. I think St. James is, when it's popping, is probably one of the best atmospheres I've ever played in, to be honest with you. Is that something that you were, obviously you're playing for the home team, so you get to see it most weeks. Were you surprised by it still, or was it like, this is what
is
I came for?
Is it different for a home player versus an away player?
Oh,
hell yes. So St. James is, obviously the noise is the same, but it must be a mentality thing, right?
For sure.
Yeah, because when you're facing the noise and there's opposition player and they're coming down the hill at you, it's like non-stop, isn't it? Like, you feel like it never stops. Obviously, for me at Burnley, it's not like a massive game. Like, for Newcastle, and the atmosphere was like top end always. Like, I remember playing there, and I remember when I hadn't played there, wanting to play there, because you'd seen it on TV or, you know, whatever. So, when it's on your side, I think I was just... like, excited about it, because obviously the lads speak about it.
Yeah.
And also there was such a buzz around the city anyway, coming into the season starting. Like, the first game, we had two friendlies the week before the first game of the season. They were both sold out, like, friendlies, 50,000.
Mad, isn't it?
Like, and then for first game, not in Forest, you knew it was going to be.
Yeah, well, Newcastle, remember back in the day, like, Michael Owen signing and stuff, and they were like, fans Shearer, everywhere inside Shearer. The stadium, Shearer, all that. They're just absolutely bonkers. Can you explain quickly what down the hill means? Because I think there's probably a lot of football fans.
Okay.
If you haven't been to St. James's Park, won't understand what down the hill means.
Yeah, so it's just a slope, basically.
It is, like, a slope, isn't, like, it? A genuine slope.
Like, we were talking about wind earlier, weren't we? Like, on TV, doesn't even get a second look.
Yeah.
No one even would mention it, would notice it. But yeah, that's it.
Never heard that before.
Never heard.
And I've been a few times.
Yeah.
There's a, I don't know what it is, but I'm sure it's something like a meter or 2 meters or something like that from one end to the other.
But when the pitch is so flat, like Sunday League level, you can see it because the contours in the ground. Yeah. But when the pitch is so flat, You probably, unless you're stood on the pitch playing, you probably wouldn't.
Oh, no. Yeah. Like, so imagine you come out the tunnel. If you head to that goal on the right-hand side, come out to the right-hand side, you are facing up the hill. Yeah. And you look.
You feel rapid going towards it. Yeah. You're running downhill.
Nah. As a goalie, I'm thinking, so straight away, I remember looking up at the hill thinking, my goal kicks aren't going to go anywhere. Yeah. It's like playing a golf shot uphill. You know what I mean? When you play a golf shot uphill, you think, this ain't going to go. I've got to hit it so much harder. Because it is. It's a genuinely massive hill, isn't it?
It is, yeah. So like, yeah, like you say, being on a tee box thinking, am I going to clear the water here? Like, that's what the halfway line looks like. It's like, it's one of them, like, thankfully, you get used to it a little bit, because otherwise...
Yeah. Low driver up the hill.
Yeah.
Keep it below the trees. Talk to me about some of the players at Newcastle then. Obviously, there's, you know, huge array of talent, like players absolutely everywhere. Is there anybody that stood out for you? Because there's a couple of players I absolutely love, but I want you to just name a few straight away, and hopefully I'll go,
you're getting too aggressive.
No, because I do.
Like, name a few. Don't think about
it. There's something about Newcastle that I think a lot of people actually quite like Newcastle, don't they?
Oh, massively. I think it's the fan base. Yeah, they're endearing.
I think it is. It's an endearing club, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah, massively.
So, yeah, give me a couple standout players for you straight away.
I've always remember Isak. I still call him Isak. Isak Alexander. Yeah. His first training session, like, just signed him, obviously, for good money. And like, you always want to see what a new lad's like. You know, you know how it is. And done a shooting session, and like, he's nearly took my face off a couple of times.
Serious?
You know, like, he's just... Maybe like no backlift, like rolling through on the angle, and he's just absolutely slapped it.
Power,
and, yeah, power.
And he's, you know, so just, skinny as well.
And I was like, don't think that's a fluke. And then we've done like 15 minutes of shooting, and I was like protecting my body, like just worried about my health because
really?
He's absolutely pinging it.
Like, this is the, like, this left, is right, it.
Nozza's like, our editor, Nozza, is a massive Newcastle fan. I can hear him gasping,
he's purring,
and
he's purring.
And I love it.
And like, I remember walking off thinking, I don't think I'll do too many sessions with him.
Not with him. Let the other ones do that. Loris, you can do that, mate.
So, it was similar to like when you first go to an England camp, you maybe have like, you know, Kane and Rashford.
Yeah.
And like you do a shooting drill when you're like third or second in line with them boys, and whoever's putting on the session, it's a bit of a confidence builder for the strikers, do you know what I mean? So maybe it's a bit close, the ball's in there a bit easy, and like you're just getting peppered. Like,
goal. It's not a session for the goalies, basically. No.
Yeah. But they tell you beforehand. I don't know why, because it makes no difference. Yeah, it's like, oh, this one's for the strikers, lads. So yeah, do your best. And you're like, here we go.
Talk to me about Joe Linton, because I'm a big fan of Joe Linton. I do. I love him. That sort of player who... He's a big lad, but his work rate and selflessness for the team is incredible, isn't it?
Yeah, it's through the roof. Obviously, player like I wanted to, you know, play with when we get here. I think you're interested because he has so much power, so much strength, like ability on the ball. He's kind of got a bit of everything, like proper like midfield general, like forward, backwards, like gives everything for the team. Just great, you know, when you say about having people in the trenches with you, Joel Linton's like top of the list.
Is he really good to go?
Like, if you're injured, he'd carry you on his back 100%. No questions asked, you know what I mean?
Do you know why I love it? Because, he got bought for a lot of money, 40-odd mil at the time, and he's supposed to be a striker, and he's not really a striker, is he, really? But he kind of got ridiculed a bit, didn't he, for the price tag. And he's just... fully turned it round. I love seeing players that do that. Don't ever come out, say too much about it. They just get their head down and crack on with it. It's nice, isn't it?
Yeah, and you know, look at him now, like the amount of teams that would have him in their midfield or want him in their midfield, you know, it would be
most, it really would be. The turnaround, like you say, Ben, with him kind of playing as a striker it's phenomenal. But we've spoke about it on the podcast before where you kind of go, why didn't, like, it wasn't like he was 18 when someone switched position. He was like in his mid-20s. How didn't anyone sooner go, you just go in there?
It's just things like that in football just happen. Like, you don't really think too much about it sometimes. And like, maybe you have one game somewhere and it looks good. Then all of a sudden you're there for there'll be so many stories that start like that. Maybe when you're 15, 12, when I was 12, I scored 100 goals up front and then I played left back for 2 weeks and then you're left back for 20 years. It's mad. Like, that's just kind of how football is, I suppose.
Yeah, one player I really want to talk about in terms of like impact, because it's probably fair to say it's rare that a fullback would have such an impact. But like Kieran Trippier coming into the club has just, like, I've got a lot to thank him for in my FPL team. Do you know what I mean?
Everybody has. Yeah. Everybody's got him.
But what an impact he's made. It's remarkable.
Yeah. Top player. Obviously, you say, like, who do you think about when you train? like when you first get there, obviously train with Trips quite a few times, so knew like he was a top player, but then you get to see it kind of day in, day out, kind of week in, week out, and then what he gives you on a Saturday, like what he gives you in the dressing room, I think you can't put a price on someone like that, who's had that like level of experience. Played, you know, massive games, mm-hmm. and you know, Champions League finals, World Cup semi-finals, you know, Euros final. He's playing some massive games. So to have him in our dressing room, I think he's, you know, a massive part of us.
All right. What's the future hold for Newcastle then? Top four, hopefully, this season. Champions League next year. Where from there?
It's a good question. I hope the first part you said there is right, really. I think, you know, first
we
and
start
foremost,
from there, yeah. We hope for that one, then crack on from there.
And then, I'll see what happens, you know. I think first foray into Champions League football for a few years would be a massive tick off. I think you saw kind of the reaction to getting to a final itself, you know, the League Cup and fans in Trafalgar Square, like inside the ground, like mad. Like the build up to that game was crazy, like just because it had been so long since a cup final and a, you know, a chance to win, you know, something. And like the second leg, obviously, to have that St James's was like unbelievable, like, and to get over the line. And obviously, long he scored twice, like, he's born 5 miles down the road. Like,
nice,
so it's just class, man. Like, and so to be part, like, so say in the future, like, Newcastle do something like Man City have done over the last 15 years or 10% of it, whatever. To if I could be part of the first team that won the first thing,
oh,
that would be like, you know, massive.
I love this.
Well, you two nearly became teammates.
Oh my God, we ain't even spoken about this. Right. Have we missed
so this? We had this one up our sleeve, didn't we? Because we were talking about it earlier on and I said to Ben, would you be kind of happy talking about it? Because I know you two, because people, again, automatically assume goalkeepers, we talked about it with Burnley, are rivals, etc.
I'm looking at my Instagram DMs.
Because this is the chatter that goes on in real life between footballers, right?
Right, so because I was obviously with the Newcastle move kind of thing, and I text you straight away, didn't I? Yeah. I can't even remember what I was texting you though.
I remember texting you when it fell through, like saying you're not fancy it. What did I say?
Right, I got it. So so you've messaged me actually. You've gone, can't believe you didn't sign for the tune just because I haven't been on the podcast yet.
Yeah.
And I put, sorry, mate, I was so close to, I just couldn't move away from the family basically. But I woke up the next day and I knew I'd made the right decision. Mm-hmm. And then I did say, oh, we did a podcast with Deitchi earlier today. And he spoke about you and he said all nice things. There you go. That's what goes on there. And I remember, I remember texting, who was it, Aaron Ramsdale about Eddie Howe. And I was like, what days off does Eddie Howe get?
The big questions. You've got to get the big ones in, yeah.
You've got to though, genuinely.
But like, if it's mad, like you say, like, well, if you sign for a club, nothing's like that spoke about until you're in the building.
Exactly.
And then all of a sudden you're finding out, oh, do you come in at 9 o'clock? Do you come in at 11? Like, there's teams train at 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
I know.
But you sign for a club not knowing. You just...
You're
jump
blind
in,
to it.
You know,
just do it.
You just jump in. And then
but
like,
it's a big thing, isn't it?
Like, yeah, so it massively affects your life.
Genuinely, like. if Rambo would have said, oh, mate, he's wicked with it here. I'll have Sunday and Wednesday off every week. Yeah. I would have half gone, that sounds all right, you know, that. The game's,
you know,
Saturday.
Like before you sign as well, it's like maybe you speak to people, someone at a club or your agent's telling you, oh, they always get this. And then you turn up and it's like... Yeah, but not on this occasion. Or not on this occasion. No one's sounding like...
They've just lied to you. Who's just purely lied to
you? Who's the best for days off then? Manager, we'll start with you, Ben. Who's been the best for days off in your career?
Oh, mate, Phil Parkinson right now at Wrexham. Honestly, it is incredible. We played Monday.
You have a lot of games, that's why you get days off.
Yeah, I was off everywhere today and I'm off tomorrow. I'm back in Thursday. So he'll basically give me... So if we go Saturday, he'll give me Sunday, Monday off and Wednesday off. Oh,
nice.
That is heaven,
that's
isn't it?
Nice, isn't
that
it?
Is heaven.
Not had that for 20 years.
Oh my God, it's absolutely heaven.
But you've just had 6 months off.
Yeah,
so like,
nine months. Yeah.
For me, try to think, like at Charlton, I think we're quite religious of like Sunday, Wednesday was like...
Off.
It was off. It was like quite
so
long.
Good,
then
isn't
like,
it?
I think we've quite a lot of managers at Charlton like over the years. And I think one came in and said, no, like you got to train four in a row, so we'd have Sunday and Thursday off.
That's
so that's
miserable.
Like a bit different.
Sunday, Thursday is weird. Deitchi was really good with days off,
yeah,
weren't
he? Yeah, so he was a Sunday, Sunday, Wednesday, like nearly always, and then like you get a good result.
It give you an extra one.
See you Tuesday, like something like that. Yeah, they're the lovely ones. You feel like you've earned it.
Oh, damn!
You're in your dressing room. You're waiting for someone to say it. Like you're just waiting. Like
you normally wait for the captain.
See you Tuesday,
or a chirpy somebody to say, "Oh, see you Tuesday, Gaffer."
Just like quiet one in the corner. Like someone say it, and then like it does like whole speech, and be like, "See you Tuesday." Yeah.
This is the common thing.
It's like one extra day off, but everyone's buzzing. Like.
This is the one common thread that every footballer we talk to says. Yeah. And it's like, I know everyone says about football as well paid and everything like that. Mm. But every footballer, time off is currency, right?
I reckon the thing. Yeah. I reckon, right? If a manager said to you on a Saturday after the game, you just won, and he went, lads, you can all have 3 days off now, but you've got to forfeit 20% of this week's wage. Yeah. I honestly think most of the team would go, I'll do that.
I think what obviously speaking to England lads over the years, like if you're in the Champions League or league and some of them guys playing for 60 games a season, brutal, you know, like their days off are minging,
isn't it? Yeah.
Talking like they'll get a schedule for a month and they might have one or two.
Oh, it's horrible.
Days
isn't
off
it?
In a month. You know, I'm like, that's a week. Like,
well, when I had a chance to go to Spurs like a few months ago, and straight away I text Fraser. Big Fraser Forster.
Are you getting an honest response? Yeah.
And he did give me an honest response. And it was, you don't get many days off here, mate. Yeah. And he actually sent me a schedule through.
Did he?
And it was exactly that, mate. Yeah. You're talking, in a month's schedule, he had 2 days, 3 days off maybe, because they're in Champions League, they're all that. And I'm thinking, that just doesn't look like fun, to be perfectly honest. You've got to have a balance, haven't you?
Yeah, I think like it'd be just a shock for anyone if you're used to one thing, then you go to another thing. And then I think it's just the mental side of it.
Fatigue,
like,
it does, yeah.
You get to March and you've been in, I don't know, 100 days, you might have been in 95 days.
Oh,
like, it's just draining a life out of you. I think like, and then obviously like, international lads, like they're not getting,
no chance.
A week off, 10 days off. Like when I was at Burnley and before I was with England, I get Sunday, Wednesday, go into national break, you get 4 days.
Yeah.
Like 5 days.
I know, it's lovely, isn't it? Little holiday, like, little Dubai
that's
one.
More than the, like, them lads are getting in a year. Like, yeah. I'm getting
that's
it.
Mad,
yeah.
Isn't it? What do you like to do to this? So Nick Pope, what do you like to do to switch off, like mentally? Because obviously, relaxing your body, that's one thing. But mentally, what do you do that goes, take my mind off football and the stress of it all?
Yeah, stresses. I'm a terrible golfer, but like, really enjoy it.
You
like,
can't not enjoy
which
golf.
Which is great
can you?
Because, like, I hit it from zigzag, like I'm exactly the same as if I hit it down the middle. Like, but then I play with people who are like club chucking, but that gives me joy as well that other people get angry.
Angry,
yeah.
Imagine like, getting angry on a golf course.
Fabian Schär, top chucker.
Head loss.
Oh, honestly, he's chucked clubs further than he's hit balls a few times. But like, just to see someone like that, and also you don't want to laugh because it just enrages them more. But like, so I'm turning away, like laughing to myself, and then you're in a group of four, and the three of you are like giggling to each other, and he's got steam coming out of his ears. Like, it's well, then things
that makes it more fun than anything.
When yeah, it does,
when
yeah.
all three of you are waiting behind him and he hits his shot, and you're all just going,
oh, yeah.
But when you get the ones that are like really down, and we've got a mate who gets really down on it, Wesley, haven't we?
Mate.
And it's like a dark cloud, but then you just become even more chirpy to make it more worse.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm playing rubbish today, but I don't even care.
Yeah, you know? Of course.
Revel in his misery.
Like, exactly. But then like he's hitting him down the middle and like playing unbelievable. He's feeling on top of the world. It's like the best day ever. But I'm
don't get too high, don't get too low.
That's what I mean. I'm just in the middle always. Like,
be a goalie, mate. See, goalies are the best. I told you, goalie pods are always the best because you'll get the same sort of response from every goalie, I guarantee.
You enjoy the same stuff as well. Like, if someone else is raging, like you get a little bit. And like you say, like watch Tom Eaton 100 yards away, you're enjoying that. Like, as well,
that sounds like fun. That
we've got some like Q&A questions in a minute, right? Cool. I want to do a few goalie Q&As before we get into it, though, okay? Mm-hmm. So first question. Who's the best goalie you've ever trained with? This is a deep, good one, this is, isn't it?
That's a real good one.
Take your time. There's no rush.
Are we saying training or like just games or just everything, like anything?
The whole caboodle.
Okay.
Somebody that's been in your team that you've watched and you've gone, that's brilliant.
Yeah, I really like Hartie just because like, he played at a top level Champions League. I remember watching him Champions League like at the Nou Camp and like at Man City, like tearing it up. And like he went for a stage where he was like possibly the best in the world.
Invincible.
Like, yeah. Like, and obviously I was a young kitten then just watching, like learning off him and, you know, enjoying him, if you like, playing
a young
that
kitten.
Team.
A young kitten, because he's a cat. He's a goalie. Yeah, I love this. I love this.
We're always, sorry, that's a Newcastle thing. Like, we're always, actually at Burnley, we started calling each other kittens.
Kittens.
So Wayne Hennessy and Will Norris, I think we started kittens. Kittens has just carried on. So when I was a young kitten watching him, like, it's just like, you're like unbelievable. I remember like him, like Peter Cech, like top level of goalies. Yeah. Like, so obviously he's come to Burnley, obviously not a Champions League team, bottom half of the Premier League maybe. And he trained at the same level, like top level every day. Like, but not only that, like not only quality, just like the enthusiasm for training the intensity trained at, like watching that, like thinking, where, like, the level you've played at, 75 caps ring and Champions League games coming out your ears, I just really enjoyed.
So that's my answer. So my answer is exactly the same as this, Joe Hart, and it's for that exact reason, to have had the career he's had and still just do that every single day. Like, you know, when you
gym as well, banging out gym for fun, by the way.
Bench press, shoulder press, biceps.
Have his tunes on. Good, like, goes into a new world.
It's
like,
just
like,
good
I loved
to go
it.
All
like,
the time. But like, you know, you'll finish training.
Have your vest on, like tribal tattoos, like it's proper manly. Like,
he was one of these that doesn't he just chuck weights around the gym?
Oh, I love it.
Like they're cotton
just
buds.
Loves it. Just energy to burn. Always wants to do something, don't he? It's like he can't sit still.
No, he can't. No, but it's like the work rate. Like,
yeah,
you can
I love
see
that.
What, like, that's what it takes. You know?
And great lad
it's
as
not
well.
Luck, just, it's not lucky got to that level.
As a teammate, he's about as good as you'll get, isn't he?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, like say, if you're chucking weights in the gym, you're out being a goalie, or you sit down, have a coffee and lunch with him, like, do you have a good time, do you know what I mean?
Okay, and then I want to know, who's the best goalie in the world at this moment in time?
Oh, that's a good question. I'm brutally honest. Like, I don't watch much European football, to be honest. Like, you know, like... Obviously, I've seen Ter Stegen's record. You've seen Ter Stegen's record, by the way?
No.
He's conceded like 9 goals all season.
Oh, shut up.
So I'm sure he's doing all right. Do you know what I mean? But I wouldn't have watched like him play
too
much. Yeah,
play.
Get on Google that record. Like,
get that up on screen.
That'll be his record, like, unbelievable. So talking Premier League, like Alisson, we were talking about earlier. Like, love watching him play. Like, obviously, you know, on a whole, Liverpool maybe got less points than they have done in previous seasons, but like his level of goalkeeping
this season,
has been,
but in a poor Liverpool team, for Liverpool standard, he's been top still, isn't he?
Top draw, yeah. So I'd have to put him up there. Anyone that's keeping Edison out of the Brazil team is
got to be
you know, top of the tree anyway. So I love watching the way he plays as well.
I think he's got actually a few similarities to be honest with you, mate. He's so bold and brave, isn't he? And it's like he doesn't think about the consequences.
No.
You can see he don't care about the consequences. Yeah. It is what it is. He's coming for it, so deal with it, and that's it. We'll think about it afterwards.
Like we're talking about, like 93rd minute Arsenal player through ball. Like if he's an inch short, he's getting sent off, or the geezer's going around him and scoring a tap in. Like, but. Reading the game at kind of in that sort of intense environment, 93rd minute Anfield 2-2, like game in the balance. Like,
and growing up, goalkeeper you kind of admired the most?
Like Peter Cech, I loved him.
Yes.
Like when he came to Chelsea, I think like 04-05 Mourinho, like
wow. So basically Ter Stegen's letting 9 goals this season, which is just ridiculous.
And we're in April.
That's just ridiculous.
That's August for some goalies. Like, do you know what I mean? September.
Yeah, mate, that was two games, man. I did that in one game.
That's Man City away and somewhere else.
Man City away. I did that in Man City away.
That was Aguero in one game against
Chelsea. Sorry, Cech. Give me some Cech talk because I'm the same. Again, that's my answer.
Yeah.
It is. That's my answer.
Just like unbelievable. Like, just some of the saves he made. Like, I just think he was a top to watch. Like, he's the first goalie I ever swapped shirts with as well.
Yeah.
Like, so I remember when you first start playing Premier League, it's like, you're like, nervous, like asked to swap shirts or like him speak to like another goalie in the tunnel. You don't know what to expect. So like, I remember I was like 9 games in. And I was like maybe I'll get the bullet in 3 games. I'll have no shirts. So like, I better start now. And obviously, I admired growing up, and we played Arsenal at home, lost to a 94th minute penalty, by the way.
Oh.
And I remember going up to him after the game, and he's like nicest guy ever. Like said like well done to da da da, and like yeah, of course have your shirt and that. So like. Gone even higher in my estimations.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
He's a legend. I love Pete. Yeah, I think he's Premier League's all-time top goalkeeper. I think so.
Like I'm in that team. Like we've got the goals they conceded, like 15 in the season.
15 in
like,
the season for Chelsea. It's ridiculous. He'll never be beaten.
No,
he'll never be
that
beaten.
That team, that Chelsea team.
Oh, that's solid. Ridiculous. I had a question there as well. I forgot it.
You into the quick fire?
No. That's what I was going to say. Shirts. Is that one of your things? Are you a big shirt swapper?
I'm literally only goalies, only kittens at the minute. Yeah, only cats. So. Just cats, mate. All cats at the minute. So just Alisson, Edison, like Patricio, Cech, De Gea, Courtois.
Yeah.
It's a nice one. The main ones off the top of my head.
He was my top goalkeeper in the world at the minute, Courtois. That's what I said at the minute, just because I think he, again, another one who I genuinely don't think he cares.
I think as well, like champions, when I will watch European goal, Champions League last year, like towards the end, he was like
phenomenal, wasn't he?
Draw, yeah.
Yeah. Right, come on, we're going Q&As.
Yeah, quick fires.
Come on then, let's dig in. Okay, Nick Pope, quick fire questions. You ready for this?
Yeah, let's do it.
I know you're ready for this. Do you have any superstitions?
I don't like stuff in my goal.
What?
Like towels, bottles.
I totally agree.
And you know what? I don't even like it close this. Either. Mine's
GoPro
like 10 yards
in your goal. Yeah. GoPro in your goal.
Could be the opposite of GoPro. Didn't used to.
I'm the same with a towel about 10 yards over there as well.
Yeah, it's almost way out the way mine.
Why is that? Why is a towel 10 yards?
I don't like giving strikers something to shoot at, basically.
Like a red flag, like giving them something.
Yeah, basically. You know, train with flags in the nets, you know what I mean? To like hit it. Or even if it's like next to the goal, I'll be like, oh, I'll bend it on the towel and into the top corner.
Yeah, into that, yeah.
So I'm like 15 yards out.
Right, listen to this, yeah? So a couple years ago, I let in a goal for Watford when we were in the Championship, and I had my towel about a metre outside of my goal, right? And as I'm diving for it, the shot, I can see my towel out the corner of my eye, right? And I don't know what it was, but it just took my eye off the ball for just a split second, right? And I remember the goal going in under my hand and thinking... Mm. What are you doing?
Like, yeah, well, how
what
that
are
happen?
You doing? That's a save, and you know it's a save, right? And I just thought, it was the towel. I swear my
it's
life.
It's mad, One thing like that changes everything.
Changes everything. So now it's like, it's about 5 metres over there. I promise you, it's 5 metres over there.
Yeah, mine's the same, man.
I've never thought about that.
I don't know if that's superstition. That's just something like, I won't have it. So like, sometimes there's other people's, like from the second half, the other goalie stuff's in
water
there.
Water and all that,
Or like at an away ground, they've put like stuff in the goal and I'm like straight away, before the half starts, I'm just whipping everything out. Like,
yeah, chucking it, clean it up, clean there, clean goal, clean sheet, boom. What's the best moment in your career so far?
Top question. A couple, or is it going to be?
Yeah, for sure.
So England debut, I think. Like,
yeah, nice, yeah.
Not quite Wembley, as Ellen Road, but still like...
It doesn't matter,
mate. Your mum and dad are there.
Good atmosphere like, at Ellen Road,
been,
at least.
Yeah, like you've been there, like you've been obviously thinking about like your whole career, like, or seeing people play for England, like, so to, I think that's always a special one. Like, playing and then off, like, probably playing at Wembley and singing the national anthem, walking out, like, all that jazz. I think that was top end. And then probably Premier League debut off that. So, like, for me, Premier League debut is home to Crystal Palace, like, nicked a 1-0, made a couple of saves, on TV, like, played 70 minutes, like 60 minutes maybe, like, and then a week after, like, I remember like sitting in the dressing room and they're like, oh, Anfield next week. I was like, oh, just got through this, like 60 minutes against like Palace, and then we were like Anfield, like Coutinho and like all
that
players,
one, that
like,
team.
Yeah, it was a proper team. And I remember like he'd be on the ball sometimes gliding past players. I'm like, this guy's a magician. Yeah, like, he's nice, the first player where I was on the pitch with and I thought this guy's magic. Like,
next level. Yeah, who was in goal for Palace that day?
Wayne Hennessy, I think.
Was it?
Yeah,
Wayne Hennessy,
yeah. He got
two longest goalies you've ever seen in the world, by the way.
There's no chance he'll watch this. He's not on like social media at all, but he's an absolute legend. I love him. Yeah. Like, I speak to him loads. Like, he was really good for me, like when he signed for Burnley and stuff. Like, he made he was top drawer. And he got sold short on the back pass, we've scored. And then we've sat a bank of 10 on the edge of 18-yard box and like, stuck
sat
in
a bank of 10 and said, Popey, you stand in your 6-yard box and catch everything,
come
please.
Get it.
Just put your hands in the air, lowest moment in your career?
I say my older shot loan was difficult. It was like really sticky. I think like, mate, me and Adam Webster was centre half. So he's Brighton ripping it up, by the way. He paid like 20-odd million for him. Like, he's probably close to an England call-up. Like, I think he's a top player. So I'm in goal. He's centre-half. Like, 3 home games. I think we were 9 goals. Like, shipping him in left, right and centre. Like, when you think back to it now, there's like all sorts of goals going. You know, when you're just like, how's that? If I look back now, it's like nightmare stuff. Like, there's one of them, like, one's going over the back post. Like, centre-half, not hit Adam, to be fair. The other centre-half's like, leave it. Left it. Posting in. You know, it's like, when you talk about, like, when things happen once, like, it sticks with you forever. Like, so if anyone shouts leave it now, like, I'm double, triple checking. Like, my head's all over the place.
Yeah, it's good,
like,
though.
And obviously, then I'm telling people, like, if you ever say leave it, like, you got to be 1,000,000% sure.
Damn,
like,
right.
It's like when other people call keepers, like, Absolute sin.
You can't do
what
that.
What a sin that is.
Don't you keep a shout for me, thank you very much. Oh,
an outfield player, one of your teammates.
Oh, yeah. Worst thing ever.
It's a bollocking, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Like, and you, like, it's just, what gives you the right to say that? And it just causes bedlam as well.
Exactly,
like,
that.
It's the worst thing ever. So that one's Aldershot. Another one, like, long throw onto my head, like, missed it, goal. So, like, Aldershot, it was just difficult, right? It was, like, 2 hours on M25 every day. I was leaving at, like, 7 in the morning, training on, like, a park, like, missing dog poo and, like, all sorts out.
And then you're getting pumped every week as
Getting pumped every week, yeah. I think away from home, we're half decent, like.
It's funny learning, though, isn't it? That's how you learn, isn't it?
It is, yeah. That's all experience is good experience.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I remember, like, so you had Andy Scott at your place, at Watford, sorry. And he was a manager of Aldershot at the time. And, like, he must have thought, like, this cat's got no chance. Like, you're sending him back to Charlton. He'll drift down the lower leagues. Like, he's got no chance.
Never to be seen again.
He's just with me for 6 weeks. And he's put us in a relegation battle in October. Like, like, 6 years later, I'm in Watford, just finished the game. Like, coming in the dressing room, like, in the tunnel. And he's, like, stood there. I can almost see it in his eyes, like, what are you doing here? Like, how are you here? Like, it's, things are like in football. Like, that's mad.
How did you make it? Oh, I love it. I love it.
I've got one here. Any phobias?
No, I'm not big on a few things. Like, I'm not big on, like, spiders and, like,
standard
mice. Like, so we've got a cat and, like, went for a stage bringing mice in the house. But, like, it'd bring one in and just fuck off. The mouse is in the house behind the sofa.
Alive.
The cat's alive.
Oh, cheers, alive. Mate.
The cat's, like, chilling, like, sleeping, like, on the table or upstairs. And I'm like, I'm picking the cat up, like, chucking it towards the mouse. And then it's just turning around, going back to sleep. And, like, honestly, it'd be like a comedy sketch. The mouse is obviously, like, this big. I'm, like, stood on the table and squealing on chairs, like, thinking, because they're rapid as well. Like,
yeah, rapid.
It's, they're, like, running around the house and, like, you just can't get near them. And then, like, you try and box them in a corner, they get out and, like, they're back behind the sofa. It's like 3 hours, you're, like, sweating in your own house. Like,
cat can't get the mouse.
So I was a terrible kitten then, yeah. Oh, my cat was the worst cat. And we're, like, hottest summer ever. I'm, like, scared to leave the door open. It's what this cat's doing. Like,
gonna bring back,
like,
some stuff.
Oh, nah.
Finish the job, cat. Come
do you
on.
Know what I mean? Or just leave, play outside.
Yeah.
I don't care. Just please. So that was, probably cats give me a phobia, I think.
That's fair enough. I don't mind them, to be fair. Favourite away ground to play at?
Favourite away Turf Moor next year now, can't I?
Yeah, you can, You'd like to think you'll get a nice reception, right?
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah, that'd be nice.
Yeah,
be nice.
That would hurt if they didn't, by the way, wouldn't it? That would really hurt.
Let's not think about it. Always like Anfield because I had a couple of good results. So I think that's always a thing, isn't it?
Yeah,
you
know,
if you have some good results, they're like, when they, what were they unbeaten? They're unbeaten at Anfield in, like, I don't want to say, like, 60 games.
No, it was, yeah. It was ridiculous. 60, it was a couple of years, games,
and, like, Barnsley scored a penalty with 10 minutes to go and we've nicked a 1-0. Might have been a COVID game. That was a good result there. I had a couple of others where my debut was there. We drew 1-1. Anfield.
I love that. Your least favourite away ground to play at? Premier League. We're talking big boys here.
Oh, don't be arse, do you?
I always used to say Everton. I used to hate playing at Everton
because
the fans are so close to you and they used to just give you the worst dog's abuse ever.
Do you know what I say about Everton? I played there, like, in winter a couple of times and the pitch is, like, soft.
It's not great.
Like, you want the big studs in, like, and it's just not nice. Like, pure, like, results aggregate wise, like, the Etihad's got to be up there. Like, there was a thing at Burnley when we were getting, like, 5-0 a lot.
It was standard, weren't it? It was 5-6 every time.
Like, I don't know, someone be doing, like, Crouchy be doing the FA Cup draw and it's like Etihad again. And it was like 3 years in a row, like Carling Cup, FA Cup, like everything. Like, we might beat, like, Rochdale and you're, like, watching draw through your fingers and, like,
Burnley got Man City at Man City a few weeks ago in the FA Cup, didn't they? You're not even there.
Yeah, no, it's still going on, still happening. Like, it was honestly, like, that was like, you know, when you, like, going, I actually got to the point where, like, I was thinking, it can't be this time. We're not going to get them. It can't be five again. Like, you know, like, and that weird thing, like, we went there the actual first game of lockdown, Burnley's first game of lockdown. So you're thinking, like, oh, these boys have been on the beach for, like,
might
10 weeks.
Might be a good time to play them.
Do you know what I mean? Like, surely they're, like, a bit rusty.
That's what,
like,
you're saying to yourself. Yeah,
like, in your head. And I'm like, and, like, madly, like, I trained, like, really well. And, like, during lockdown done loads of like, I done loads of cycling, like loads of like work. And I like, so I've come to this game, like I felt like top end, right? 5-0.
You can't walked do anything.
Off the pitch, like, it's just done.
You can't do anything.
I remember thinking like, this is what I mean about staying like level headed as well. It's like, however good or bad you feel, or you think you've done a warm up, it means very little.
Nothing.
Really. Yep. Do you know what I mean? Like how the game pans out. You could have the worst warm up ever in the best game.
Yeah.
But like, there's no cameras for the warm up.
I totally agree.
It's mad.
It's so true. Like it's about 3 o'clock.
Yeah, yeah.
It's
yeah.
about that moment it kicks off.
I understand. Obviously, like preparation is good, and like you want to have a good preparation. But like, literally, like I had the best feeling ever going into that game.
And you got
and, like Phil Foden scored one at the near post, like floppy wrist, like scored another couple, and it's like 3-0 at half time. Yeah. And you're like, oh, here we go.
When they score early, isn't it?
It's just like, it's horrible.
They're just
horrible.
It's just every you can't do anything about it. They always score the same goal.
And even
if they
don't score early and they score maybe 1-0, obviously it can be 2 and 3 and it's like 67 after 65, you're 1-0 and then 67 it's 3 and then you're like, let's keep it to 3 or let's keep it to 4. And when you start saying that, it's not great.
Do you ever go into like a Man City game? You probably can't say this. You probably can. Going, I'd take 4-0 right now. All right, start of the game, I'll take 4-0.
4-0 is like a result, mate. 4-0 is like a win, honestly.
There was some time, we went 1-0 up there once. I mean, it's 10 times once. And I just remember thinking, we've woken them up. We've annoyed them. That's what I like. Yeah, like our fans, right? They're celebrating the goal like mad. Like Barnsley scored again. Barnsley's like going over, like celebrating. I think it's FA Cup. I remember walking back to my bottle thinking,
you
this,
wait.
This is just going to piss them off.
Don't do that. Don't score.
Like, it's way too early.
Stop celebrating.
Do you know what I mean?
Stop celebrating.
It's still the first half, lads.
Mate, I was 5-0 down after 18 minutes there.
What?
5-0 down after 18 minutes. We lost 8-0 in total. They just chilled, thank God. Oh, they just chilled.
That's what you hope for, isn't it?
Yeah. I remember at 5-0 down thinking, yeah, this could be 15 or 16.
You said, didn't you? Oh. It's going to be a world record.
Yeah, world record. I kept thinking it's a world record.
You're going to be a guy in the Guinness book, yeah. Right? It's going to be the picture of you. Mate, and fucking
I've had the most relegations, right? I've let in the most Premier League goals ever. I've let in the quickest Premier League goal.
I have, yeah.
And you're going to overtake the Australia versus Papua New Guinea
36-0. All-time scoring record.
Well,
yeah, I'm with you. Man City away is the worst place to play. I totally
you done
agree.
Well to keep it below the nine.
Damn it, it was eight. It finished eight. It finished eight. Yeah, so I was happy with eight. To be fair, because there was a nine. There was already a nine that season. Southampton Leicester.
Yeah.
Southampton Leicester was a nine that season. Yeah. Cool. How Leicester have fallen from there, eh, Seba? Seba's a big Leicester fan, by the way.
Iosi Perez didn't he score a hat trick there? I think I won a few quid on him on that one.
Yeah. Any pre-match rituals? Anything you have to do before the game?
I'm on beans on toast at the minute.
Nice.
Brown sauce.
Yeah, boom.
Gotta be brown sauce.
Pre-match, yeah, it's through brown sauce. That's a cup of tea.
Nice.
Obviously, what's good about that is like, wherever, like we have pre-match at home. Yeah. Like, we're not into the ground 3 hours before kickoff.
Nice, isn't it? Yeah.
Real good. So like, whether I'm at home or in some like decent hotel, it's like...
Always get it and you can always get it
doing
cup
myself
of tea.
Like no problems.
I like that. Goalies are low maintenance, aren't they?
The best, isn't it?
It is
the best.
We don't need much, do we? We don't need much. We just look after ourselves. Leave me to it. I know what I'm doing, it's fine. You ain't got to give me a pep talk, just leave me alone, it's fine.
You lot run about, I'll catch it if I
exactly
need.
And shout at everybody and I'll organise and stuff and yeah, it's nice.
The conductor.
Yeah.
Player you'd most like on your team in a quiz.
Current squad.
Yeah.
Not many. Yeah. This is not a long list. Like,
there must be one. Come on.
There must have been a few dropped out of school earlier in our squad, I tell you. Oh, Jesus Christ. I know this is quickfire, but this is...
You can't say another goalie either.
Oh, doesn't help.
It's a good job. They're good at football, basically.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? Yeah. There's not many careers in there. There's not many. There's not many outside careers in there. Like one pops in my head, Dan Burn, but this is because he owns a Kindle. That's why I'm thinking like, because he owns a Kindle.
Honestly,
I'm thinking, I see him on the bus and he's got his Kindle and I'm thinking like,
he's smart.
He must be. Do you know what I mean? I'm looking at everyone else who's just scrolling through TikTok for like 3 hours. Like, So like, I'm struggling to give someone else with a valid reason. Other than
I thought
like,
you were going to say because he once came up with this great, you know, oh. fact. No, because he owns a Kindle. I love that.
I've
no.
never seen a football of a Kindle.
Have you not?
Never. Oh. I'm with you, mate. I'd say that as well then. Because I've never seen a footballer own a Kindle before. Or even reading before, genuinely. Yeah.
I'm trying to think top half of the pitch. Like, I think like... No.
Matt Target was mentioned and quickly unmentioned.
No, not him. No. I wouldn't mind maybe a couple of those European lads. So like, obviously speak a few languages for starters.
Yeah,
which
that's
is like,
decent.
It's a skill, you know, like Sven Botman, Alex, yeah. Isak.
Nice.
Got a few languages in them, so maybe one of them.
All right, bit of culture. I like it. What's your nickname? Please don't just say Popey.
Yeah. Kitten. No. Yeah, Popey, yeah.
Is it just Popey,
yeah,
simple as that?
So standard, put Y on the end.
Let's move on, it's fine.
Best football match you've ever seen, you've ever witnessed?
So not played in, seen.
Yeah, like watched on TV or watched live?
TV would be the Aguero one. Like, I remember just like, it's one of the things you just remember where you were.
Yeah,
like,
you do.
Literally, I was at college like, and there's a group of us like in a pub. Like, and like,
you were at college
it.
For that? Yeah. How long ago was that?
Yeah, a while.
Was it?
No. Yeah, 12 years. So I was 18, yeah.
My God.
Yeah, man. So I just remember bang where you were, like the people you were with, like, played in, like, the City game this year for Newcastle, like, with 3-3.
I was going to say, that was a draw, everything.
Like, so that'd be right up there for me.
Your brother asked you a good question on the golf course the other day, Brett did, about if you could swap your career for another sport, what would it be?
So we had this conversation. Yeah,
this is a good one. Yeah, so you just did a basic level of the sport, whereas I was going like, if I was a footballer or something else, you'd go, yeah, but golf, you're traveling a lot. You're away all the time.
So, yeah, so we did this stuff at a training ground. We said like, you get to have one season. You get to be at the top of the sport.
Yeah, that's the one.
Like,
that's a good way of putting it, actually. Yeah.
Like, where would you spend that year of your life? Like,
what sport? Go on, then.
See, I'm not really big into it, but F1 looks good, doesn't it?
Yeah, for sure.
Like, you're
yeah.
driving a car.
Yeah.
How many weeks a year?
Boom.
Like,
that's true, yeah.
And then I imagine afterwards, have a good time.
If you're at the
then
top.
Then they go to a new city. Yeah, like,
if you're Lewis Hamilton.
Like after a year, your bank account's looking okay. Yeah, like loads of things. I think like golf was mentioned. Like NFL's 17 weeks, like Super Bowl.
Really good.
America.
Question.
So yeah, I think I'll stick with that just because I think like just to give it a go.
F1.
Kind of know what golf's like. Do you know what I mean? Like,
mate, your head is sticking about that.
I don't know about that. Fitting in. Like, I need some adjustments.
We're not
like.
Talking practicalities. Yeah, then. We just come on.
We didn't mention that, did we? So, no one said football.
No one said football,
by the way.
No.
20 footballers.
No chance.
No, I'll do something else.
Do it for a weekend or something, but I ain't doing it full time. God, no. Mate, that was incredible.
World class.
Nick Pope, honestly.
Thank you.
Awesome. That, I knew, like I say, the goalie pods are always the good pods. They're always the best pod, but that was fantastic, mate. So as we always finish every episode, mate, up the Fozcast.
Up the Fozcast.
You've got to say it. You've got to say
up
it.
Up the Fozcast.
You got to put your hand up as well.
Up the Fozcast.
There you go. Cheers, mate.
Awesome, love. Thank you for having me.
Thanks everybody for watching. We hope you enjoyed the latest episode of the Fozcast. Don't forget to give us a follow on Spotify. Up the Fozcast.